Yeah, we're back. We're back on the attack.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, that is terrible. What's up? I'm white.
Hey, thanks for everybody being here. Hey, Dadgum Dads Podcast, here we go.
Here we go.
We're getting ready. We're going to roll. We're excited. We're pumped. We got a good episode today.
Super pumped.
But before we get too crazy, right?
Yes.
We got to...
Shout them out.
Shout them out. Shout. Here comes the list. Shout. We're ready.
Shout it all out.
It's let it all out.
I'm going to say shout it all out. So I don't care. Let it all out. So you got to shout them out.
Shout it. Fit donuts, yeah. All right.
Yeah,
go
yeah,
get
yeah.
A fit donut or I'll attack you at night.
Oh,
come on.
Come on.
Actually, that's not true. I'm not coming. I'll attack you.
Eat your donut.
I'll attack
come
you.
Come on.
I'll attack in the daytime.
Okay. Go to it's fit not donut. Night. It'll be the daytime.
Fit donut. Go get one, okay? All right. We got Bison Fence. Randall Cole Carnegie Esquire. He'll come fix your fence. He'll make a new fence. He'll tear up an old one, replace it with a new one, or just patch it up, do a gate, whatever. Hit him up. He's online.
And if you don't need any fence fixing, I will break your fence.
Yeah.
To make sure he has work.
Yep, that's true. We got to keep him
employed. So you might as well break it yourself. Yep. Give him a call, and he'll fix it for
you. We're going to go around and start bashing people's fence. If you see us outside and we're ripping up posts and stuff, it's because we're trying to give our buddy some work, okay?
Yes.
Hey, he's plenty busy, but I need him busier. We want him busier.
I know someone that'll run his car into your fence.
Oh, okay. We'll get them.
We'll get him. We'll
call what else up. We got? We got Treasure Valley Eco Wash. G-Luzzi.
Ooh, squeaky clean.
It's getting hot out there. Get your trash cans cleaned up. You guys are gross. Knock it off.
You nasties.
Sick of being downwind of your turd-infested trash cans with grass and poultry. No. Just been left out in the heat.
You know, tired of the flies, the maggots.
Get Treasure Valley Eco Wash.
Disgusting.
To come clean up your garbage. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Get that garbage clean.
Okay.
Yes.
And take care of it.
Yes.
And it smells good, too. I actually, no joke, climbed inside my trash can last time and lived in there for a whole week.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Stayed in there. It was so clean.
Okay.
And they didn't know where I was. My wife and
Well, I was
going to
say, I got a couple text messages.
I said, hey, I'm out.
I said, you know what?
I just need some time.
Now I'm texting right now saying, next time he disappears, check the garbage can.
I'm not going to really, I didn't really do that, obviously. I don't really fit in there.
But it's so clean that you could have.
I could, that's true. Could have been the new Oscar, but I wouldn't have been the Grouch. I'd have been Oscar, what's the opposite of Grouch? The happy guy?
The happiness? The
I
happy?
Don't know.
Anyway.
There's no good word for it. Anyway, last but not least,
American
Batsman. I got the bat right now. I'm going to hit a home run.
Hey, guaranteed home run every time.
You can't tell people that. There's not.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
In your dreams, there you go.
They're probably telling me, stop doing it. Don't
stop.
It's all about the talent. I mean, having a nice bat, it will help. But if you got no hand-eye coordination, you can't read those pitches coming in.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Can't hit the dingers.
Yeah.
But American Batsmith.
My name is Big Al and I hit dingers.
Yeah. And if he had an American Batsmith, he would hit dingers even,
every time. I'm going to say it.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible with an American Batsmith.
Boom.
And that's it for our sponsors.
Be distinct.
Today, what are we talking about?
Hey, you know what I'm feeling right now?
What?
Joy. Because we are recording.
Oh. Well, guess what that is?
And Betty happy to be
here. Did you know that
here.
That's an emotion?
Oh, an emotion!
We're going to talk...
So many emotions.
So we're going to talk about emotion today.
We are.
It's what it's called, emotion. And did you know that according to scientists, there are 27 emotions? That
27?
A human being, 27 different emotions that you can feel.
Well, according to Inside Out, there's only like 4 or 5.
No, you have 6 basic emotions. And then you have... up to 27 emotions. Some say 30, some say 27. It doesn't matter. I don't really care. Today, we're going to talk about 7 of them.
We're going to just talk about
it. Okay.
You know, it's funny that we picked this topic because my kids, actually this morning, before I left for work, they were watching Inside Out.
I don't even know what that... Oh, the movie.
The
movie. I don't even know what that is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's awesome.
That's an emotional movie. Stirs up all kind of emotion. What kind of emotion does that movie make you feel?
Anger.
Like Chris Farley?
Yeah, angry.
How do you feel?
Angry.
That's funny.
No, actually, I like that movie. I don't mind it. So, I think it's a great spin on what they did with, you know, getting into Riley's head.
Sure.
And they're up there.
Yeah,
boop,
yeah. Boop, yeah.
I
really don't
remember any of it, but yeah. I think I would, you know, I'm a redhead. I'm a leprechaun. I tend to side with anger quite often.
Well, we're going to talk about anger today because that is one of the six basic emotions.
Oh, it's basic.
You know what the six basic emotions are?
What are they?
Anger.
Oh.
Fear.
Wait a minute.
Sadness. Happiness. Disgust. And surprise.
I am disgusted.
Those are the six basic emotions.
And surprised that anger is number one.
Well, it's in no particular order.
Well, it is for me.
It was on the list. But, you know, there's a key emotion that we all feel, especially when you have kids.
Oh.
What's missing?
I don't know.
What do you tell your kids probably 28 times a day?
Love.
There you go. Love.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's not one of the six basic emotions, because not everybody has love. That's crazy, isn't it?
Hmm.
Not everybody feels love. Everybody will feel those six other things.
Yeah.
It's weird that you would think,
robots,
love would be there.
I guess robots don't feel love. I don't feel anything.
Robots don't really feel anything. Unless it's like a Terminator, because, see, the T-800 did learn how to feel joy.
Ooh.
And he had some emotions there, because he cared for John Connor.
Would you say he had...
In T2.
Secondhand emotion.
That's a good point. He did. He acquired them from somebody else.
Someone's
leftovers.
I would say
that's a secondhand emotion.
Oh, I like it.
I like
anyway,
that.
I had to get my song on.
Secondhand emotion. I like it. So I think we'll leave love for last, because that's the easiest one,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. That it's not. It's still weird that it's not six big. Anyway, I could see that, you know.
Maybe for an animal, like a dog, love would be number one. Because they love everyone.
I don't know. And there's a tons of other emotions. What was it? Gosh, I can't even remember. It was like envy and, you know, pride and like all these other things, you know, like confusion, anxiety, you know, admiration.
Well, I was going to say, aren't there like seven deadly sins or something like that?
Interest, their joy, there's all these other things.
Well, I was going to say, aren't there like the seven deadly sins, like envy and...
Well, yeah, ironically, according to the Bible, the seven deadly sins, you also have our emotions, yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
Huh?
It is interesting.
Well, glutton is not an emotion.
Hmm.
Either is...
You're glutton for punishment.
Well, anyway. But a lot of them are emotions. Okay. Let's delve into this.
I like it. Let's do anger. That's my favorite.
Yeah, let's
talk about it. I'm an angry elf.
Okay. I'm angry too.
I'm a South Pole elf.
So we get angry. Not only do we get angry probably at everybody on the planet, but let's just keep it to the house. We get angry at our spouses. We get angry at our kids.
And they get angry at us.
And they get angry at us. What causes a lot of this anger?
Disappointment.
There's another emotion.
Well, I think it goes from disappointed to anger.
It's never just straight to anger? Is this with the kids or with your wife?
Myself.
Oh, so we're just talking. Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah. We can't speak on their behalf.
No.
We're going to stay with us.
I don't know. I think... Out of all of those, I think the anger is the easiest one to feel, probably. Especially nowadays, you know, in this day of age.
Yeah.
There's, you know, where everyone and everything just so sensitive.
Yeah, it makes you angry to see, you know, how people are handling everything. And then it makes you a little angry to think that your kids are growing up in this. And then they're watching, you know, how we're responding to it. So we got to keep it together. We can't let that anger run amok.
Well, it's just like as a parent, you know, you tell your kid no, they get angry.
Right. So, well, that never ends, apparently.
Yeah.
Because adults do it, too. They don't like getting told no as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are some adults that are still children.
Yeah. So, I mean, a kid... you know, they break something, maybe you'll anger at that. Especially in this thing, it's like, especially if you told them, don't do that, or don't be around that. You already gave them a warning. Then they go and do it.
Yes. Ooh, yes, I have, you know, story time.
Okay, let's hear it.
Pull up a rug, you know, sit down cross-legged Indian style, and listen.
Yeah.
Just Saturday.
I can't really cross my legs. It's kind of long. It hurts.
Yeah, mine are short and stubby.
I'll just sit like this.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
On Saturday, we're getting ready for camping. We're going camping this weekend and for Memorial Day, and which now everyone knows that this is going to be after Memorial Day. So
thanks for blowing it.
Dang it! Record, hit it, stop it. We're starting over. Anyway, so I was getting their bike tires all pumped up and changed and everything, and Landon, I told him, because I took his old tube and old tire, threw them away, put new ones on. And because we bought him a new bike, mm-hmm. and he needed new tires, so put the new ones on. Threw the old ones in the garbage, and he comes up to me, "Hey, where are the old tires?" I'm like, "Threw them away. Right. Don't get them out."
Yeah.
5 minutes later,
he got them out.
He got them out.
You already know.
Oh, I knew. And I got angry. But he got in trouble, but he didn't listen.
Why did he get them out?
Because it.
Why do kids do a lot of things?
Because he, from what I could tell, just from what, when I looked over and saw what he was doing, he was on, because we have two trampolines. We have a big trampoline and a small trampoline. He was on the small trampoline, throwing it like a frisbee and trying to hit his little brother.
Hunter.
While he was jumping.
Trying to hit Hunter Doug with the tires.
He was throwing it and trying to hit him in the air. But it was a game they were playing, apparently. But it just, he didn't listen to me. So I got after him, told him go to his room for a timeout.
It's very frustrating.
So
that's another emotion, frustration, but anger, man.
You just don't, especially Molly, love her to death. She's cute as a button. She has a listening problem. She does not listen. So, I'll get frustrated and kind of angry with her after.
I think those go hand in hand.
Third or fourth time telling her to do something and she's not doing it.
Yeah, I think anger and frustration definitely goes hand in hand, especially with little kids. You try not to get too mad at them, so it's more the frustration factor.
Yeah, it's more of I call her Hurricane Molly because she's literally the reason why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Because she tends to break a lot of things.
Yeah, it just comes with age, comes with time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, other than that, I feel like, especially with my job and everything, I feel like I'm just, it wears on me, and so I try not to bring it home, but it's tough.
Yeah, I get you.
And so
we're only human.
I'm angry at work, and then I come home, and I try not to take it out, but I do.
Right.
On certain days, and so.
Right.
It's just part of all the emotions.
Yeah, and I think it's healthy. I mean, all these emotions, I think we all have them, and it's healthy to show them. It's just about how much, having that healthy balance. Like, if you're angry all the time, you're not ever happy, we got a problem,
Yeah.
Just like if you're always happy, even when things are terrible, and you just put your smile on your face, pretend the whole world is, awesome. You're gonna explode someday.
Yep.
It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. You're gonna blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have that balance. I get angry a decent amount, but it's usually not it can be actually over the smallest things. It's
terrible. I'll tell you something that makes us both angry.
What?
Golf.
Well, yeah, I think if people get married, I'm speaking more with just kids. Right?
I know.
There's tons of stuff that outside my house that made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to get, like I said, get angry too much. And usually the anger that I'm showing around my kid is actually directed at somebody else entirely.
Yeah.
She just happens to be there to hear it or see it, so she doesn't pay any mind. I don't get mad at her too much. Mm-hmm. She's a messy kid, though. And I constantly am telling her to clean up. Like, this is nothing new. She's 9 years old. It's not brand new information.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go up and I see that she stuffed things under her bed again, after I've told her to not do that, I get a little angry.
a little angry.
Mm-hmm. There's been some threats of throwing her stuff away. I've done that. The only difference is I don't have the heart to do it. I wish I would have took this from my old man, because he told me now. You don't pick that up, I'm going to throw it away. And guess what?
He threw it away.
And my mom got mad at him, but he's like, I told him. I respect him for it. He's a man of his word. I wish I could do it. I'm going to start doing it, man.
You're going to be a man of your
she's
word.
She's got too much stuff. I'm throwing your stuff. Obviously, because the way I explained it was you obviously don't care that much about it if it's on the floor. Mm-hmm. Where the dogs can get it and chew it up, people step on it, whatever. Like, if you cared about it, you would put it away or take better care of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with kids, you know, obviously you've seen, you have lots of them. Mm-hmm. It's not even that they don't care. It's just they're little kids. There's so much going on in the world. And, woo, I'm going 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That they just drop it. And they don't even realize they dropped it, maybe. Or they thought they put it away because they, well, I'm doing all this. So, you give them that. But, I mean, at some point, it's going to be like, I mean, that excuse is only going to go so far. We got to start tidying it up.
Now, one thing that really drives me nuts is when a hunter, I'll tell you what, a kid will take his shoes off and just leave them.
Yeah, I hate it.
But, and it'll be like right, like where our dining room is, where you
right walk. Right where you walk.
Where, yeah, well, like where the dining room and the kitchen meet. And it's, you know, this little corridor. And he will have them literally right there. And he walks by them multiple times. And I'm like, pick your freaking shoes up. Put them in your room.
I'm throwing some shoes, man.
Oh, boy.
I'm throwing some shoes.
Tell you what.
They're everywhere.
I took this last weekend.
Sometimes I'm throwing my wife's shoes, too. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. There's so many of them.
I have one pair of shoes that are not in my closet. They got like 38 pairs of shoes between the two of them that are not in their closet, meaning somewhere else in the house.
I'll tell you, Molly, she loves her shoes. She's got a million of them. She's like, she switches her shoes out like she switches her clothes.
And she gets them out and brings them and leaves them outside.
Yes.
And the guy's like, put them away.
I tell you what, this weekend, my kids, I don't know if it was a rain. I don't know what was going on, but my kid, well, they fight all the time. But it was just really bad this weekend. I yelled at them and I threatened to send them to military school.
Nice.
I was like, you know what? Get in the car.
They'll teach you.
We're going to military school.
Clean it up.
We're going over to Uncle Steve's.
Nah, man, they won't get much over there because they'll walk in and there'll be the pairs of shoes all over the floor because I can't keep my house in order.
You're a lot bigger than me and louder.
I got my own crap that I do, but one thing, I've always been more tidy, though. Like, I like putting things away, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, because I like keeping it pretty clean, not like crazy OCD clean, like I'm constantly on my hands and knees scrubbing every little thing, but it's like the things that you can't control, like clothes on the floor or your, you know, books, toys, etc. You know, if it, keep the floor clear of obstructions, please. It's not that hard. Your stuff away.
I have my little area
on
my side of the bed that, and it drives Valerie nuts, but I'll just kick my shoes off, you know, take pants off, whatever, when I'm getting into bed, just leave it all there. You have a jacket, take it off, throw it there. And it drives her nuts, but it's like no one can see it because when you walk in the room, you can't see my side of the bed.
But she knows it's there.
But she knows it's there and it drives her nuts.
You know, and I'm like her because
But other than that, like, I'm actually pretty clean.
No,
like,
I mean, like, I'd say, well, if I have a dish,
have a dish, clean it up. If I take my shoes off in the living room, I'll throw them behind me next to the shoe rack.
Yeah.
But they're not on the shoe rack, but they're not in the middle of the freaking room where they are.
Yeah.
And, but the kids, they're just like, oh, whatever, take the shoes off. I mean, Valerie, she cleaned the living room, spotless, goes out, does some yard work, comes back in an hour later. I was like, she didn't even touch it.
I know, man. And that'll make you angry right there. And I get upset about that, too. Man. Like, I also clean the house, and then it's like dirt. It's like, come on. And she gets mad, too. It's like, I just clean. Like, you quit leaving your stuff out all over the place.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff. We go on about getting angry at our kids all day. It's the same story for everybody. Mm-hmm. Your kids, you know, they're not going to eat all their food, or they're going to make a mess. They're going to leave things out. They're going to backtalk. They're going to. We all have the same thing. Mm-hmm. We get you. Anger. Hey, it's all part of the game. All right? Mm-hmm. Which leads us to fear. Let's talk fear.
I'm too much scared, guy.
Oh, man.
What's your biggest fear? I want to know what your biggest fear is.
I would say one of my biggest kind of ties into our episode from before last week is something terrible happening to my kid that I could have prevented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, well, shoot. Now you changed my whole perspective.
Like, that's my fear. That's why I'm constant, like, I am the way I am at home or even when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gotta make sure, you know, the dogs are good. Wife knows where the gun is, you know, stuff like that. We got the rings working, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things are locked. Like, that's why I lock my doors. I check my doors 28 times a night, man. I'm crazy because not just my kid, my wife too. Like, I have, that's my fear. Something bad happens to them that I could have done something about.
Mm-hmm.
Much less something bad just happens to them.
Yeah.
But if I could have done something about it and didn't, oof.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Well, I don't want to say mine.
The spiders. It's like nothing. That, no. Like, my fear is spiders.
No, my no biggest fear is failure.
Failure?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not just in life in general, but like failure as a dad.
Yeah, sure.
Not being there for the kids. Not raising them right, how they should be raised. I talk about being angry a lot, but I try not to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess failure as a parent. I don't want to be the person that when the kids grow up.
Yeah.
That are like, you know, my dad was an a-hole. And, yeah. Someone out there? Anyway.
Maybe.
Probably Molly again.
The Ruth.
Oh, Ruth. And not have relationships with my kids.
Yeah.
I want, you know, when they're older, I want them to be able to just call me and chat with me on the phone, you know. As, you know, when they're older and out of the house and everything, have conversations with them.
You want to be the total dad. Yeah. When they're younger, to the point where they're adults, they still.
Yeah.
You're in each other's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's my biggest fear is failing as a parent, but then also in life too. You know,
jobs. No, I mean that's all legitimate.
Supporting my family and everything, yeah, like all that. That right there is my biggest fear. Yeah.
Well, and that fear, I think a lot of people have that fear. It's what keeps us driving to continue on, whether it's pushing for that better job or continuing to work the job you hate, but you know it's what you got to do right now.
That's what I'm doing right now.
No, I mean, whatever, you know, everybody has their different thing, but that's what keeps you pushing,
mm-hmm.
you know, as it should.
Yeah.
I think it's a good fear. Fear of failure is a good fear to have. Mm-hmm. I think if it overcomes you to the point where you can't, you're so afraid of failing that you actually do fail. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You've created that paradox. Like, I'm so afraid of failing that I can't succeed now. Yeah. Now I'm just a failure. Like, you put in your head that you're a failure, or you're always nervous every time you do, like, say, an interview or something because you're just so afraid of failing that you're not,
mm-hmm.
you can't show them the good or, you know. So you can't let those, just like anger, can't let those emotions overtake you. But,
yeah, definitely.
But,
I hope I'm doing a good job so far. I mean, if you talk to my kids right now, they're going to say...
No, Molly told me how bad it was.
I mean, okay. Shut up.
Well, it's all right. Hunter said nothing,
as usual. Because he doesn't say... Unless
you looked at me.
He doesn't say anything when people are around.
Dude, he will not
say. But that kid, I can't get him to shut up. I know,
well, he never said anything when I'm around.
One of these days, I will videotape
him. Record him talking.
I will record him.
I don't think I've heard him speak.
I will record.
I've heard him speak.
The way he, like at dinner time, I'll record him. And I will show you the real
internet.
Yes. My now, fear, Molly's just Molly.
Now, my fear is that one day he'll start talking and won't stop. And then I won't get him to leave me alone. I don't want him around me.
Well, if you hang out with him enough. Then he will be your best friend.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I'm sure when he's a little older.
Like, you know, if you were to go camping with us this weekend, then you'd probably see the real Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. We got Vegas in mind, though.
Oh, I know.
So excited. My fear is that I'll have so much fun in Vegas that I might not come back.
Hey, easy.
That won't happen.
Better come back.
No, I always come back. 2 days in Vegas is plenty.
You want to hear something pathetic?
What?
Never been to Vegas.
That's not really pathetic. That's why we're going down there. My brother-in-law's never been down there. My youngest brother-in-law.
Yeah, but I'm older than he is.
Yeah, but I mean...
I had a brother
that lived there. I wouldn't say it's pathetic.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
No. It's not.
You know how old I was before I saw the ocean?
It's not always appealing to everybody,
though. You know how old I was before I saw the ocean?
How old? You never really left Idaho a lot, did you?
No.
Yeah, we need to get you out of the state. There's a lot I can show you out there. Let's go. We'll do a road trip.
Landon was 2, and he is 9, so 7 years ago. So I was 30.
Now that's crazy. Not crazy.
Well, actually, the first time I saw it, I was 29.
Okay.
The first, because when we went to Florida, I was 29.
I mean...
No, I was 29 because we went over the 4th of July to the... So we went to Florida in March... to visit my brother, and that's the first time I saw the ocean.
And then, I think, yeah, but everybody's got to see the ocean, then, but gosh, some of us live so far away from it, though.
Yeah, you know? But then that July, we went to the coast,
yeah,
to the Oregon coast,
yeah,
and I saw that ocean. I prefer the one over in Florida, because it was a lot warmer. The Oregon coast is cold.
Yeah, it is. I don't like it. I've been there, but...
Yeah,
gosh, that was a long time ago, though. I mean, it's far away. I mean, it's far enough away from here I could see, but there's some people who live, like, in the middle of the country. I mean, you know, like, if you live in Iowa or something, there's no ocean near you. You're probably never going to see the ocean.
That's true.
A lot of people don't ever see the ocean. But we do live close enough in Idaho that... I mean, you got to get over
it's only.
So you did. I mean, it wasn't really on the priority list.
Well, it's only an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, it's not that far, so you can make it happen.
No, we'll do it again. It's just...
My fear is that I take you to the ocean.
And you throw me in and I never come back?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm afraid of sharks.
As you should be, because they're not afraid of you. So...
They're like, ooh,
enough of fear. That was good. We had a couple key things. Let's talk about... We'll talk about happiness in a second. Let's talk about sadness real quick. Sadness. What makes us sad?
For me, seeing my kid either hurt or sad or something like that.
So you have empathy.
Sick.
Yeah, so you're empathetic.
You know, I would much rather, you know, take on that and have me be sick and not them. Yeah. Or hurt, have me be hurt and not them. So
yeah, very much the same way. Yeah,
I don't like it.
Yeah, it makes me sad, and I'm not really one. I don't really get that much sad. I don't get very sad very often.
I don't either.
You know, and I'm typically sympathetic. I'm not as empathetic as I'd like to be, but yeah, if she was hurt, if she's really hurt.
Well, I mean, it's not that I'm over there like coddling. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
it just sucks. I mean, I'll just look at him and be like. I'd much rather it be me sick than them.
I want to say there's only been a couple times. One that I was a little sad, but almost this with the fear deal was when Juliana got her tonsils taken out.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming home from being out of town for work, and I got home that day that they were taking them, and I was worried I wasn't going to make it on time. And so I was feeling sadness that I wasn't going to be there for her. And so I remember when I saw her, I got to her at the hospital. That's when I got happy. So we'll talk about that in a second. But
well, so Landon, we were playing baseball. I don't remember what game it was. I mean, it was a few games in. He hadn't hit the ball at all. And then the one game that I didn't go to, he hit the ball.
Hit a dinger.
Well, he hit it right back to the pitcher and then got out. Like, he picked it up and threw it to first base.
Ooh.
But to his, like, he could have made it, but he was surprised himself that he hit it. So when he hit it, he, like, kind of stood there and hesitated and then started running, but he had the bat in his hand. And so he, like, kind of, like, turned around and was like, and then threw the bat. And then started running first. And so, then, the pitcher had grabbed the ball.
He gave the kid about 12 hours to make the play at first base. I guess.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. And then, but by the end of the season, I tell you what, man, that last game of the season, he got up twice and he hit the ball, got an RBI. And then the second time he got up there, he popped it up to third base. But I'm like, hey, he's connecting and
that's good.
He's hitting the ball. And so it's kind of cool because... when he hit it, first time I was talking to him, and he's like, essentially, now I'm not afraid anymore. Good. Like, I was, because he'd never hit the ball, so he's like, I don't really know how it feels to hit it in the game, because in practice, he hits it all the time.
So but you were no game, longer, so you were not very,
yeah,
you
were so,
happy than sad, you weren't sad anymore.
Yeah, but I was sad when I missed the first, his first hit.
Sure.
Because I wasn't there. You. But luckily, Valerie took a video of it,
good.
So I was able to see it. But
right.
It just sucks because I wanted to be there for him.
And yeah. So,
but then, when he was striking out all the time, I mean, there was times I could tell that he was on the verge of tears sitting on the bench.
Yeah, you feel for him.
Because he wanted to hit the ball so bad.
Yeah.
And he felt like he was letting his team down.
Sure.
And so, like, it hurt me. I was like, this sucks because I can't do anything for him. Right. I'm like, I can go out there and bat for him.
Yeah, you can.
Because I
put the hat on.
I'd go up there and I'd hit dingers.
You would crush that ball.
I'd use my batsmith
bat. Like, hey, man, what's going on?
At 12.
At 12 years old.
At 12 years old.
That other team would be super sad when you're out there crushing dingers.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's real obvious, like, you know, obviously when people die and stuff like that, you're sad. I'm liking that we're kind of talking about other stuff that's not maybe as obvious on the surface. Because, I mean, it's really to say, yeah, man, I'm sad when my aunt died. Yeah, I was sad, of course. Everybody's.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like that sadness you feel when, your kid's hurting. What really gets me is typically, same with the wife, is when it's like that real emotion, that emotional stuff that's kind of breaking them down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I get used to, I mean, because they're both have their emotions, and sometimes I'm like, oh, whatever, gosh. But when it's like real and you can just tell like this is a serious thing and you really mm-hmm. feel it, yeah, I mean, I feel sad, I feel bad for them, you know, you like all these mm-hmm. emotions kind of come in.
Well, especially with you, it's different because, you know, your wife's medical condition, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That I can see. That would be hard.
Yeah, when that first happened, you know, when we first found out she had lupus, you know, it was shocking, and I didn't really know what it was, and I was sad because mm-hmm. I felt sad for her. I felt sad about the situation. You know, now, obviously, we're just used to it. It's whatever, but.
But it still sucks,
every once in a while, there's something going on, and. You know, I'll feel sad about what's going on. But, I mean, overall, this is probably, honestly, the one I feel the least out of the ones we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm kind of numb on that.
Yeah, I mean, you get kind of used to it, I guess, after a while. So.
Yeah,
you just know that it's just a part of, you know, who she is now.
Well, yeah,
it's expected that, you know, when she has an outbreak or whatever they call them, then. Or a flare-up. You know, that...
Well, yeah, and it's just...
It sucks, but...
I've always looked at life like, you know, most of these things that are happening is part of life. You know, somebody dies, it's part of life. You get sick, it's part of life. It, you know, mm-hmm. this, and this. It's just like, I don't dwell on stuff, and like, so it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of...
Death for me is... I mean, yeah, I get a little sad, but it's just, for me, it's part of life.
I think it's really sad, though, when it's very unexpected.
Yes, know?
That's
definitely.
When it's really, like, whoa.
Yeah.
It gets you. I did not expect
just that. Comes out of the blue, yeah.
Yeah. Car older and like stuff, that, yeah. You're like, okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we've all had that. We've endured that. I think that's a part of it. But I think let's talk about happiness. That's a big one.
I'm happy.
So many things make us happy.
Anytime my kid succeeds at something, I'm happy.
Isn't that the greatest?
It's awesome. Grades. It doesn't matter what it is. Grades. It's get good grades. Bam. Happy for him.
So I was... with Juliana, you know, she's gotten really good at dance over the last several years she's been doing it. And mm-hmm. it's just the improvements are so drastic. I'm always happy for her to see. I love that she's taken something that's very difficult, especially for her build. She's tall and she knows she wasn't naturally flexible or... You know, she's got a little bit of athleticism, but, you know, she has to work on some stuff, and she's really crafted it to the point where it's, like, legit. Like, mm-hmm. she's good, and it makes me very happy. But then even with that, on the flip side of that, or not the flip side, but there's another thing that she does that she wasn't doing the best, and it was, like, some of her stuff in school, like, some mm-hmm. stuff she's really good at, and then there was some other stuff she was slacking. And so when I was going and looking at her homework, and then I was kind of calling her out on some stuff and really like, why are you not doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. She took that serious and then started doing very well on her schoolwork, mm-hmm. like overall, all of it.
Good.
Like very few things were being missed at all. Like she took it serious. Like I love, that's what makes me so happy about her, whether it's school or dance or whatever. She has this competitive drive in her. That you know, not everybody has. You know, you're born with it. You can try to instill it in somebody, but most of the time it's either got it or you don't.
Yeah.
And she is competitive, and there's something about when you call her out on something, she wants to make you happy. She wants to make herself happy. She wants to make everybody happy, and she wants to do the best she possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It makes me happy.
Yeah,
for her that she's like that, because it'll help her, you know, for a long time. I mean, that's life. If you can be like that, you can go a long way if you can do that.
Mm-hmm. See, that's great that she's competitive. I love it. I was competitive. I mean, I'm still competitive. Not as much as I used to be.
Right.
Just because I know I don't win a lot now. Because of my...
I'm so used to losing, it's not really a competition anymore.
Exactly. Well, back when I was younger, when I was fit, and I was actually good at things.
You're still good, bro.
No. And so, well, you saw it last summer. You saw my competitiveness come out, and when I lose,
I
get angry.
I usually make fun of you.
Yeah. And I get angry. And I
get happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you saw that last year at Guy's Weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm just so tired of losing to Colt. Colt wins everything.
Because he's good at golf.
Not just at golf, but you... No.
There's a lot of stuff you can beat him at.
We were all losing him to a cornhole.
I was beating him for a while. I got too drunk.
I did beat you guys at the golf game.
He beat
that was
me,
awesome.
He beat me because of intoxication. It had nothing to do with talent.
Well, that is true.
That's science.
Science.
He just waited me out. Is what he did. He's
manipulative
very,
like
he's
that.
Strategic.
That's son of a gun.
He's strategic. He's like, if I wait this guy out about another 2 hours, I might have him.
Yeah. And then there's me. I don't drink, and I'm still losing.
Well, that's because you're not any good. But you did win a golf, and that's good for you. So that made you happy.
I was up 5 strokes on the last hole. We had to go to an extra hole. Come on.
Hey.
Anyway, I still have the belt, by the way.
You almost blew it.
It's because we haven't gotten together.
Yeah, no, we need to get back out there, but whatever.
Anyway, but see, Landon, he's competitive, but in the wrong way. When it comes to sports, not competitive. Like, I swear that kid does not have a competitive bone in his body. And then when it comes to school, it's... Who can get their test done the fastest?
Yeah, see that, and
and so
kids don't like that. You got to tell them, like, it's not about speed; it's about how many you get right.
Exactly, and that's what we're dealing with as teacher, and we've all been working on him with it. Like, he's like, I was the first one out with my test. I'm like, well, how many did you get wrong? Like, take that competitive spirit and put it into sports.
Or how about we rewind? Take that competitive spirit, put it into getting. The answer is right.
Well, that too.
No, I don't care if you miss all your test questions.
Okay.
You take that to the field, baby.
Well, no, the problem is the kid can be so athletic.
Right. No, I got you.
But he'd much rather play video games and it drives
me. Listen,
nuts. I know,
but it's gonna. Well, he'll get there. He'll get there. But I'm sure there's some stuff.
Dude, I tell you, old HD. I got my hope, dude. That
you're
kid.
You're probably pretty
is
happy about HD Stokes.
He's a. I'm gonna start calling him Chipper. He's a little chip off the old block so far. That kid.
I like HD.
Well, HD. I like it.
Hitting Dinger Stokes.
You stop it.
I just thought of that.
Oh, my
Hitting
God.
Hitting Dinger Stokes.
Yeah.
You'd be so happy with
stop
him.
Stop it. Oh, get out of here with that garbage.
I think we are... it's just endless amounts of happiness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was happy the day they were born.
Yeah.
I was happy when we found out that we were having... any
when
of them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, fear kicked in immediately for me.
Ah,
then,
not me.
Then, well, it was doubt. Or no. What was it? I thought she was lying. I was like, you're not serious. And then it was like some doubt, like, nah. And then it was fear, like, oh, no. That's not what I said either. Like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not.
Gandit.
But then, you know, it happened, and all I felt was joy and, happiness.
Yeah.
Just so proud of my old lady bringing that baby.
Oh, yeah.
It was a huge moment.
Yeah.
I mean,
just like I said, my job sucks. And so when I drive home and I pull in and I see the kids.
You see those
and
chickens running around out there. They look like little chickens out there.
Well, the thing is, when I pull in, they'll follow me. They'll follow me until I park, and then they're sitting there by the door. They're waiting for me to get out.
They don't like you at all, do they?
And I love it.
Yeah, they don't like you at all.
No, not at all. But, no, I love it. When,
it's cool.
Especially now that the weather's warmer, they're outside.
They're outside waiting for you.
Now, during the winter, it sucked because they're inside, and so I got to wait. But then when I walk in the door, they're like, yes, Dad's home. Let's wrestle. Like,
they love you.
Easy now. My back.
I know.
Back.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. Yeah,
just pulling in and just seeing. I mean, I love my days off because I get to spend with them.
Yeah, I do.
And
I get you.
Because I feel like, just especially lately, we've just been so busy with work and then T-ball. And for some reason, Hunter's coach thinks that they're in the pros. Because the season hasn't even started yet, and he's doing it 4 days
a week. That's how everybody is, man. It's crazy, dude. And, like, it's just getting worse and worse as we get older, like, because everything's just so much more competitive.
Yeah.
It's how it's going to... This is the norm.
Well, it's funny, because we got a text message, and it's all, hey, you know, we have... Essentially, you got a uniform. Like, you have your shirt, but then they're like, we want black pants, red socks, red belt. And I'm like, what happened to a t-shirt and shorts?
Hey, like, man, you got to have them looking good out there. Look good, play good, be good.
Be good.
I mean, you're kind of, I see where they're going. Like, you're trying to build up kids at an early age to teach them to care about things, you know, sooner. It does kind of suck because, like, we've seen it with dance, too. Like, it's super competitive. It's all the time. It's all the time. It yeah. takes up so much of her time.
I'm like, the kids are 4 and 5.
I know. But pros. If you look at it that way, though, they're... I mean, it starts now, unfortunately.
I'm helping coaching. I don't like it.
Yeah, I told you that was a bad idea.
Well,
which leads us right into disgust.
Yeah, I'm disgusted.
I told you.
Oh, man.
It's just, yeah.
I tell you what, boy.
It's disgusting how competitive things are out there.
It really is. Like, I miss the days back in the day. I mean, you and I, we played multiple sports.
Yeah.
Football. Yeah, yeah. You played basketball.
Yeah.
And I did track,
yeah.
And so did you.
Yeah.
And there, multiple three-letter
sure.
People, you know, yeah, no varsity big deal. Letter people.
Yeah.
Now it's like, what sport are you going to play? Baseball?
You got to pick one.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's year-round.
Well, I've talked to Alex about this, you know, her picking dance early was probably good. Because that's how it is now, man. Like, you can be multi-sport athletes, sure, and you hear about them. But honestly, those are it's not everybody's like this, especially now. Like, you got to pick a sport, the one that you're going to be, and you can always switch. But, because I've thought about this, like, I love playing basketball, but I wasted a ton of time doing it. It's not like I was going to do anything with it. I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to, like, towards the end of high school. Like, I looked at it, like, I could have been actually getting my body healthy for, say, track or something that would have helped me with football. Because track and football makes sense. Mm-hmm. Those go together. You know, like, football was always my priority. See, so focus on your priority.
Yeah.
I just wanted to play sports.
So the reason why I quit basketball after freshman year is because I knew by the time we were seniors, I could make the team, but I would have sat on the bench.
Nah, you're not.
And so that's why I went and got a job.
That's
so
why...
got a job at Old Chapco.
That's why one of our friends, he was super good, and he quit just because he knew he saw the writing on the wall. He knew he wasn't going to play. Like, and that's what happens when you're at a competitive school, mm-hmm. especially when there's, like, favoritism and all these other things that come into play, and that's inevitable no mm-hmm. matter what you do.
Yeah.
But there's ways around, you know? Yeah, I could have told him, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit on a bench. You know? I'm going to focus on getting ready for track or something.
Yeah.
Because that's why I couldn't do track my senior year. Because my back was all hurt from playing basketball. I got a disc thing going on. And my knees were always hurt from the hardwood because of the growth spurts and blah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're not going
to... I wouldn't know what a growth spurt is.
Now we're off topic. I mean, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
with what was going on. But shoot, I mean, it's pretty obvious the one thing that really disgusts me with having kids... is their turds. And you knew I was going to go there.
No, for me...
It grosses me out, man. It's disgusting.
It's the puke that disgusts me.
Puke doesn't bother me. See, I know everybody has that thing. Puke doesn't bother me.
The poop, well...
Poop bothers me, man.
Now, at the age that they're at now, that bothers me.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were younger, wipe their butts and everything. Sure. And then they get to 2 and 3, and you're like, okay, it's time to go on the toilet.
Right.
And now...
When you find big old turds in the toilet.
Oh, my goodness. That's
disgusting.
It's like, how did that come out of you?
I know. It's gross.
But, and now it's driving us nuts because they're going to be in kindergarten coming up this fall. Uh-huh. And they are refusing to still wipe themselves.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
And we're like, no.
Why do they... They don't want to?
No.
They're like, aware that their butt's going to be itchy all day.
Well, they just know that we're going to come in and do it eventually.
God, doesn't that suck?
Cause and you, I'm just like, oh, you, it drives me nuts. But, and that part, yes, that it disgusts me. But the puke, I can't do it. Nope. If a kid pukes in their bed, I'm grabbing the kid, showering him.
That's the thing, man. Like, you gotta get
used to... She gets to clean up the puke.
When you have kids, mm-hmm. you have to get used to all these disgusting things happening. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Not just, like, poop, puke, pee, spit, food... the way they eat their food, you know, then it's like their behavior can be your behavior is disgusting. Oh, yeah. Like, your wife's behavior is disgusting. My behavior to her is disgusting. Like, everything's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, the world's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Look where we are. It's 2021. Look what's going on out there. It's gross. Jeez. I hate what I'm seeing, you know.
Ugh, don't even
look
get
how
me
this
started.
Person acts. Why do you even have kids? That's disgusting. You know, like, it's... there's a lot of gross stuff out there.
A lot.
Nasty.
Disgusting.
I can simplify it and say having kids is gross because of the poop and the pee, but there's a lot of beyond that, you know, the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of disgusting stuff out there. The world's disgusting, which is why the episode we just did before this, it's disgusting that we cannot trust people to go and let our kids stay the night.
Yep.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Because of the actions of
because
others.
Of actions of so many people that we know personally that you hear about all the time, whether it's on the news, the internet, everywhere. Mm. It's gross. It's terrible. That's the world we live in now.
Ridiculous, man. They drive me nuts.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. And that makes me angry, fearful, you know, all these other things.
Got them all in there, man. Disgust, angry, fear.
So before we get into love being our last one, the last of the six basic emotions is surprise. What surprises you about having kids? What do these kids do that just surprises you? Other than when you had a baby, I was surprised. You probably like, oh my gosh, I have a baby now.
When we found out we were having twins.
Okay, what a great example. Elaborate, please.
Well, actually,
I was surprised. I'll be real. When you told me you're having twins, my jaw dropped. It's like, because you said we want three and we'll be done. You know, it's like.
Jokes on you.
I know. I was like shocked and then I was laughing.
No, never played actually, it was. I didn't go to the ultrasound because I was working and I got a text on my phone. All it was a text with a picture of the ultrasound. And I looked and I was like.
You're like, that's a fat baby.
No, I was like, wait a minute. And I looked. One, two. And at first I thought she was joking. I was like, yeah, whatever. But then she called me. Did you get a picture? I was like, yeah.
She said, surprise.
And then she's like, yeah, we're having twins. And I go, huh. But then it was like.
She said, no, that... you are.
Yeah, you're having twins. I'm not. Nope.
I want one kid.
And, but I was like, it was actually, it was a surprise, yeah. Because they don't run in any of our families.
Right.
But it was. That explains a lot, because she was sick with the other two.
Right.
But she was, that pregnancy was hard, man, with the twins.
Right. I mean, I'm sure you were feeling those other emotions, too, during that. Fearful,
she was hooked
sad,
up.
You know.
She was hooked up to the IV. Yeah. I mean, she could not keep anything down. And when we found out that it was twins, we were like, oh, that explains why she was so sick.
Mm-hmm. Those little monsters are eating her up from
man.
The inside out.
And then after that, it was joy.
Yeah.
But then some fear crept in because, you know, a lot of the times, you know, both of them don't make it.
Yeah.
Because, one of them will take most of the nutrients and the other one just kind of dies off. And so it was a mix of all of it.
Uh-huh.
But the day that they were born... And it was tough. That was the hardest pregnancy. I mean, she was on bed rest from like week 10.
I remember that.
And she was on strict bed rest. She spent a couple weeks in the hospital. She was on some hard medication to try and stop the contractions. And she was able to hold them. I mean, at 30 weeks, they were ready to come. And that was way too early. Yeah. And so for the last 5 weeks, I mean, she's a trooper. I mean, I tell you what, man, talk about surprise. I was really surprised about how strong my wife is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, especially
that's a good surprise.
That and when, when she had Allie, I was surprised at how strong she was. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, I think when we watch our wives have our children, it's you obviously you know they're capable of doing it because women have the babies, right? But you are surprised, like, wow, you really can endure so much. Like, I remember we were in the hospital, like, Alex's water broke. We went on a Saturday, and we were there the whole day, and nothing was really happening. And which led into the middle of the night and the early morning, and they're like, hey, it looks like it's going to be a C-section type of deal. Mm-hmm. And she handled it, oh, my gosh, so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, like, kind of a little scared, like, wow, you know, that's not the plan. The plan is this. We didn't come here for that. And, you know,
it was
and
then an emergency whole, C-section with Valerie and Allie.
So it's like the whole thing and the process, and then you're in there and you're watching the C-section, and you just remember, I remember I was so surprised to see what that looks like, because you can see, like, over the curtain. And I'm, like, watching them, like, lift her stomach and pull this big, and I'm, like, looking at her, and she was just smiling the whole time, you know. I remember still to this day, I can remember her smiling, and you could tell she was a little afraid but happy too at the same time. Obviously could not feel anything, you know, which I'm surprised. That's surprising.
Because Allie, or Val, she was there, but not, because she was loopy.
Yeah.
And then right after she had the babies, then all of them, all four of them. Well, the twins I wasn't in the room for. And so...
Speaking of twins...
There she is.
There's a twin. She just couldn't help herself,
there
could she?
There she... Oh, what's up?
Do you mind if I look at the owls in the tree?
Okay, you can go ahead and look at the owls in the tree with that. I don't think they're out there, but you can look for them, okay? Okay.
Thanks for asking. All right. That was important. That was definitely important. You're going to need to put her back.
Nope. I'm going to keep her. Just kidding. I'm a keeper. She's a keeper.
Oh, yeah.
Good old... She was just looking for a reason to come in.
I know. She totally was. And it's fine. That's what real life is.
That's my life, folks.
No, you know...
But...
Yeah, that's...
It's just... You know, she was loopy. And and then right after she had the... At least I know with Allie and Hunter... Or, no, sorry. Allie and Landon. She was out. Like, right after she had him. And, you know, they went in to do the... You know, stitch her up and everything. And they just... Poof.
Yeah, it was a lot.
She doesn't remember.
Yeah, Alex was
seeing them or anything.
She was up. She was awake. You know, I got to hold her, Juliana, and then you know they cleaned her, and then they got her, you know, stitched up, stabled up, whatever, and then into another room. They brought the baby into us, and she was up. You know, we had to stay there, obviously, at the hospital a little bit longer because of that. You know, and then obviously she was in the NICU because she wasn't eating. Like anyway, but
NICU.
Yeah.
Baby's in the NICU.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
You know, it was a little weird at first. I mean, I got it. It made sense. Like, she wasn't eating like she was supposed to. So I get it. They got to get in there and make sure she's eating and all that. But by about day four or so, I kind of just felt like they were milking it. You know? I really did.
It really does.
Like, I felt like the hospital at that point, because they had her on this, like, slow drip feeder thing. Mm-hmm. Like, well, once that runs out, she's good. And I'm like, you see how slow that thing's dripping? She's going to be in there easily another 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is ridiculous. We got it. Like, she's latching, you know, kind of, you know, Alex, we're good. Like, Alex is even ready to go. You know, she's walking around. Like, let's get this baby home. We were there 6 days at the hospital. That's crazy.
Oh, like, wow.
So, I don't like the NICU. I get why it's there. And sure, if it's an emergency, I got you. But I do also think there's some stuff that... They're trying to straight, like, if you got good insurance too, like we had that TRICARE, they're trying to, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like they're trying to keep you there.
Hey, okay? You're trying to get some NICU nurses if one is listening in the anarchy.
I don't know, man, call me crazy, but I bet if I didn't have insurance or it wasn't very good, you'd probably be kicking me out pretty quick. I don't know. I mean, that's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, I might be wrong. I don't know. Or I could be so right that it makes your head explode.
Boom. No, Allie, she never went to the NICU. She was born early and she was jaundiced. Uh-huh. So she would have to go to the nursery and lay under the light.
Uh-huh.
Landon spent the night in the NICU because his oxygen levels were low.
Mm-hmm.
That terrified me.
Sure. Gotcha. Gotcha.
They put like this little, actually kind of looked like an astronaut, like this bowl over his head.
Yeah.
and then that the oxygen would just blow down onto. So he was there overnight. That one, looking back, I feel like an idiot, because essentially, I paid more attention to Valerie and helped her. I went down and visited him once, and then just went to bed.
But that's okay.
Like, I wasn't down there with him.
You gotta be there for your wife too, though.
It's I know. A big deal. I know, but I feel like I just kind of, like, looking back, I kind of feel like I abandoned him down there. Just like, okay, he's good, in good hands, you know, with Allstate down there. And
hey, but when they're at the hospital, that's the only time you got some help. Like, I mean, real help. Like, these people are coming in around the clock and helping you. Because once you go home,
oh yeah,
that's it. Go get that sleep while you can.
Yeah,
I don't blame you.
And but then he was good the next day. And I think with Allie, we were there 3 or 4 days. Landon, the same 3 or 4 days. Not with the twins, because they were so early. Molly was in there for 5 weeks, and then we were able to bring her home. And then Hunter was in there for 6 weeks. He was a week after.
So my complaint on 6 days really doesn't matter to you.
No.
Yeah, that bounced right off your chest.
That's child's play.
six days, huh?
6 days. No, the crazy thing about it is, you know, we were really blessed to be able to bring them home at that time, because, I mean, there were literally babies in there that had been in there for 5 or 6 months.
Sure. Yeah, I know.
And essentially, their cribs were decked out. They had pictures of their family in the cribs and everything with them. And it broke my heart, you know, to see them.
Yeah, right.
And now, the awesome thing that the hospitals do, though, is they have volunteer cuddlers come in.
Right.
And so if the parents can't be there, like, during the day because they're working or something like that, you know, the volunteers come up and they'll cuddle the babies. I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah. Cuddle me, too.
Get over here, boo boy. Sit on my lap.
Well,
but, I mean, but no, it's just, it was crazy. And so there were a lot, especially with the twins, because of all the health scares and everything.
There's going to be a lot of surprises with those kids.
There still are. Oh, yeah. But except for her coming in all the time, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
But
it's because you... That's the last one. Because
I love her. Because
you love her.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
The love. We saved the best for last.
We
could go on and on and on and on.
I would not trade them for the world. No. Even though how much they drive me nuts, how much they get on my nerves.
It's because you love them. We put up with this stuff.
I tell you what, man. And I make sure that my kids know that I love them.
It's good to show that.
Because we had this discussion earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a couple back that, you know, our dads didn't tell us that.
Well,
mine didn't.
Yours didn't.
Yours did.
Yeah, mine didn't. Had a lot of those other talks with me, but he didn't tell me he loved me. Well, I got you.
Yes, but my kids, oh, man. I mean, I think they get annoyed with how much I tell them.
You know what? That's fine, though, because they're going to remember when they're... I just looked down by the door. She stuck something under the door to spite you. Look at this kid. Look what she did.
That girl...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, love her. Man, we gotta love these kids.
Gotta love them.
Oh, man. You know, no, when they get older, they're gonna remember that.
Yeah.
And you want them to remember all these good things, you know, like, my dad loved me, my parents loved me, you know, my mom loved me, they respected me, they took care of me, they did everything they could to make me happy, they taught me this, they taught me that. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah.
And you know, and if I'll you can sure say you know. Did all that, you'll know that you did not fail them and that they love you. You know, taught them taught them everything you know. You know, gave them all the tools to go out in the world and be successful, be good people. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Try your best.
We love these little monsters.
Really do.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's crazy, too, because, you know, you never really, you try to explain to people that don't have kids, you know, what that love is, and, you know, and I'm not saying you have to have kids to know what love is, because that's not true at all. It's inaccurate, and not everybody needs to be having kids. You don't want kids, don't have them. I don't care.
If you can't, have kids, you know, that's not your fault.
That's, you know, it's not your fault. There's too many people, is the thing, is what I'm getting at. So, you choosing to not have kids, or you can't have kids, like, I mean, okay. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's just, it is unfortunate, though, that there is such a different love, though, that you do have for your kid. It's kind of hard to explain.
So the best explanation that I've heard...
Yeah, I think you've told me
this. Yeah, was having a kid is like having your heart outside of your body.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and it's true. Yeah. I mean, you will do anything and everything to protect. Like, you know, you'll do anything and everything to protect your heart that's in your body. Mm-hmm. And you will do anything and everything you can to protect that child.
Right.
And, yeah. And so, I mean, now, along with being a failure, you know, fear of being a failure, you know, I just added yours, you know. Fear that something's going to happen to my family that I could have prevented.
That's your heart. Didn't. That's your heart, yes. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and it sucks because, you know, they've a couple, I think it was last week or week or 2 weeks ago that both of my kids came home, the older two, and I was sad and angry at the same time because apparently they were being picked on the bus.
Yeah.
And so they came home and they were both in tears.
Sure.
And I wasn't home, so I couldn't do anything. But then it goes to the back to that episode of bullying. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I just want to jump on that bus and just ream whoever was picking on them. And, but I can't because I'd just be wrong for one. And, but well, no, my
the parent at?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the problem is I don't even know who this freaking kid is. So, but yeah, they were being picked on, so they were both in tears, and it broke my heart because they were being picked on and bullied, and I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah,
and
it's because you love them so much.
Yeah, that I would much rather be the one being picked on,
sure,
and let them go, you know, unscathed. So
yeah,
and the way that I feel, you know, especially when I get the sadness and everything, is I would, anything that happens to them, any type of sickness, give it to me.
Right.
Leave them alone, give it to me. Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I would take, you know, cancer or anything, I would take it if it prevented them from getting it.
100%. So. And that's what it's all about, you know, being a husband, being in a family, being a dad, trying to take that pain, absorb as much of that as you can.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we can't protect them from everything. We can't stop all the bad from happening, but, you know, it's kind of like what we said in the last
episode. You can, but you're going to shelter them.
Yeah. Which that causes more problems later.
Exactly.
It's like we talked about in the last episode. There's some things that you can prevent and some you can't. Mm-hmm. And if there's things that you can prevent, you absolutely have my blessing to do it. I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Yeah.
Why not? What's so wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with it.
Nope.
Because I love my kid so much. I don't want these things to happen that I've grown up hearing about, I've learned more about as I've gotten older. It's terrible. People that I love, people that I care about, bad things have happened to them. I'm not going to let it happen to my kid if I can help it.
Exactly.
So, plain and simple. So, you know, we could talk about these things all day. This was a really good one. I really liked, get into the different emotions.
Get a little serious on this one, huh? Yeah. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Huh?
Well, there was other emotions.
We got to show our little sensitive side over here.
We could talk about, you know, the thing, being happy, you know, we joked around the whole time, and mm-hmm. I mean, that makes me happy, laughing, you know, having a good time,
getting rowdy,
but you know, that just wasn't about, not what this one was about.
No, more somber.
Yeah, well, it's real, you know, we're trying to be real, that's what this is about, this is us being real, real talk, mm-hmm. and putting it out there. So, this one went a little long, but I think it was worth it.
Yep.
I think it was good to talk about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep them coming.
We will.
Can't stop.
Nope.
Can't until stop. Until there's zero listeners, that's probably.
Hey, we average 16, so we're good.
Hey, we're doing all right. That's 16
people. We're doing all right. That's 16.
Or sometimes more, sometimes. Well, no, it's easy about that.
No, well.
We're going to get out. We're going to get more active. We're trying to, you know, keep it coming. You know, we keep going on these little hiatuses, and mostly that's my fault because unfortunately, I have a job that takes me away,
mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. But whenever we can, we try to, you know, pre-record so we can keep them, keep posting podcasts for everybody to listen to. But we'll keep try to keep active online too. You guys got suggestions, episodes you want, stuff we should talk about? Please, let us know. Throw us a comment online. You want to write a review? Tell us, you know, how crappy we are. That's cool.
Like good, bad, ugly.
Yeah, like I told you before, I'll probably delete it. And then I'll write myself a 5-star review saying how good we are.
And then I got my orphanage, so I'll have all them write us 5-star review.
My dad is
good. My dad great.
My dad great. My dad smelly butt.
That would be Hunter.
My daddy's stinky.
Stinky.
5 stars.
Boom.
Said, but how many stars? You like, oh, I like all.
Oh, oh. 4 stars. The more stars, the better. No, but, you know, talking about, we average 16, but, I mean, we've had a listener in Belize, Australia, United Kingdom, Sweden, Germany. I mean, we're getting out there, man.
Sweden?
Oh, Sweden.
That's from Sweden. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
And then the majority of them here in the United States. Man, but
I wonder if they're real. Are they like a computer?
Well, I like to pretend that they're real, at least I think that they are.
Yeah, I like to think it's real, too.
And if you are, if you're listening and you're in one of those, let us know.
Hey, we appreciate you. Give it, yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, this is cool.
But like, hey, say hello from Sweden, hello from Germany, wherever you're from.
We're touching the different parts of the world with our dad talk.
Yes. And we're just going to keep growing. Our dad wisdom.
Which is not much.
Which is
it's mostly opinion-based.
Exactly. Just essentially giving our opinion.
And often, take it, we observe and then we have our opinions.
Take it with a grain of salt, or you could trust us. Yeah. Probably wouldn't. But
I like salt, though.
Yeah, salt is pretty good. Not too much, though.
Not too much salt. Just a little dab.
A little bit. Just a little sprinkle.
So if you take even 10% of what we're saying and you like it, that's cool. That's 10 more percent than maybe you liked about us the day before.
Probably.
Cool.
But if you met us in real life,
you would like us 90%.
It would be freaking awesome.
It's awesome.
I wish we could take this show on the road. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. Talk to people.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I mean, we can do interviews and stuff, but like do live
things. Yeah, maybe someday.
Maybe. Yeah. Any promoters out there?
Hey,
hit us up.
The dads to show up, man. We'll
see. Yeah, we'll bring our Batsmith bats with us.
You got the Batsmith. It's dad time.
Get her done. That's right.
Cool.
All right. Well, hey, everyone, your children are blessings. Don't take it for granted. And we will see you guys next
week. Appreciate you, everybody. Thank you.